This is the Voice of America's continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 15, man's fourth visit to the lunar surface. Astronauts David Scott and James Irwin, continuing their second traverse by lunar rover along the foot of the Apennine Mountains, made an extra stop a short time ago at a particularly interesting boulder which caught their attention from a distance, and they collected samples from it. The moon explorers have now been on the surface of the moon in their second EVA excursion about 3.5 hours. For a running account of this second EVA excursion, we take you now to the manned spacecraft center at Houston and VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner.
Astronauts Scott and Irwin are back at what is called Spur Crater, back to the west of their original traverse target point for the most distant point to which they would go away from the lunar module. They've driven the rover to a steep slope area, as you heard reported there, so sampled a very unusual and geologically interesting boulder. They're now back at what's called Spur Crater, examining it, and let's listen to that. Dave Scott.
Guess what we just found. I think we found what we came for. Crystal and rock, huh?
Yes, sir.
You better believe it.
Yes,
look,
sir.
The pledge in there. Almost all pledge.
She likes it.
As a matter of fact, oh, boy, I think we might have ourselves something close to the north of sight.
The north of sight.
Because it's crystalline in there. It's just a bunch of, just almost all pledge. What a beaut.
That is really a beauty, and there's another one down there.
Yeah, we'll get some of these.
Bag it up.
There you go. There's one of the most exciting revelations so far with this astronaut, Fred Hayes, who knows the importance of this. Fred?
Well, Jim and Dave, in their stop here, just mentioned a white clast, and they inspected it and saw twinning, which is a series of striations or little lines in the crystal face, which told them it was a material they call plage.
Plagioclase.
Which is short for plagioclase. And it is indeed a crystalline rock. And if it's all plagioclase, which they thought it was, it makes it the rock name anorthosite, which is of interest because the highlands of the moon, the original highlands, some people suspect is predominantly made of anorthosite.
Let's listen to this examination.
Keep there in the middle and break off a chip.
Yeah. So now they're working on the sample, on getting it loose and getting it into their sample bag. They've turned the television camera on the rover on.
Yeah.
It's pointed toward them. We can see them working.
Let me get your bag.
As the Earth with
its
color TV camera pointed it right toward them. They're on the side of what is called Spur Crater.
Number 170.
Roger, 170.
Bag number 170. I bet there'll be a fight for that one.
Jim, are you working on the outside of the crater, or are you over the lip right now?
Just a tad over the lip on a little bench, but it's... Dave, did you hold that one? I don't know whether it'll fit in the bag or not. Got it? Oh, nope. It dropped. See if you can pick it up again. I think it'll fit in the bag, Jim.
Yep.
A little frangible. Yeah, it really is. I think I can get it with a tongue.
Fragible, which means it tends to break apart or crush when they grasp it.
They've got to have a word more complicated than fragile, huh?
Yeah,
with
the
geology.
Loosely welded.
Okay, babe. Open the bag.
There are quite a few of those found fragible type rocks on Apollo 14.
Yeah, okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Atta boy. Good show.
In the bag.
Post pickup picture.
In
okay,
the sample.
Roll that beauty up. Let's go get some more of that. I think we got to get over that big rock. Yeah, we're getting there before we run out of time.
All right.
So I think a big rock's probably more important. It's a big bridge, though.
Dave, we think you might be about to run out of film. Maybe you better check that now.
worried about him running out of film on his
Jim, this one we gotta pick up, and then we'll go to the big rock. And if you could put that in my bag, and then check my film.
I should emphasize that this is...
Joe, this crater is a gold mine.
Oh.
And there might be diamonds in the next one.
What if they found diamonds on it?
Yeah, babe.
Well, that would be of great interest because, of course, diamonds are formed under great pressure and temperature, normally very deep down.
I think he's got a lot left. He's only reading 145.
Roger, good. Sounds good.
I think a lot of people on Earth would be interested for other reasons than geological.
Yes. Yeah, normally if you found diamonds, you'd get eclogite and some other pretty weird rocks with it that, again, are formed quite deep.
They're moving to another part of this crater wall. He says he's on a little bench just down inside the crater edge rim. I mean, just a little flattening space, a little ledge, sort of.
Jim, did you fill a bag after 170? If so, we missed the number, and we can probably sort it out later.
Beyond the astronauts is a large rock. Almost, I guess we could call that a boulder in the distance, and I won't speculate how far away it is.
No, I think that was the last one, Joe. We'll rely on you to sort it out later.
Looks like it might be 20 or 30 meters away.
Okay, I have... Oh, look at this, Jim.
I did speculate.
What a contact. Look, way in contact. I got... man, oh, man. I got about a 4-incher, Joe. It's sub-rounded, and on one half of it, we have a very dark black fine-grained basalt with some, looks like some very thin laths in it of pledge, nothing else. And in one region, there is some millimeter-type vesicles along a linear pattern very close to the contact. On the other side of the contact, we have a pure, solid white, fine-grained frag, which looks not unlike the white clast in the 14 rock, but it's a beautiful contact in here. And we'll call this one bag number 198.
Roger, copy 198. And Jim, you may have dropped your sample bags.
Again, there's...
Yeah, I dropped one. He dropped one, Joe. Thank you.
There's...
I don't know what we'd do without you, Joe. Hey, isn't that super?
Again, there's what they call a contact, which is two different types of material.
Within the rock, they have a very sharp linear delineation between the two types of rock you described within the sample, which is a very good thing to have.
Okay, let's see where they go now. Yeah, Jim dropped the sample bag, and Joe Allen on Earth reminded him of it. He knew it. They left it. Moving on.
Yeah, they were, of course, concerned that it had something in it. It's an empty bag.
Mm-hmm. And here on Earth, we can see that.
Around the circumference of the rim here.
This television camera, it's very easy for us to take it for granted quite fast. You see it moving around, and it's almost we can almost forget that there's a man on Earth controlling it to transmit our eyes up there to the surface of the moon, so to speak. And we're viewing, I think, probably the most miraculous television transmission in electronic history.
Okay.
Very practical thing to have, too. The ground does not have to waste time asking them questions now and then about what they're doing. They can see what they're doing.
Fingers left to get me another one. Yeah, what would you like? The bag? Oh, yeah, the bag. I was going to...
There must be a lot of these rocks visible to them as they move on. They're getting closer to that big boulder.
Oh, look at this one.
There. Indeed.
Diamond, huh? Oh, move out of your shadow. No, I got a big... Is that glass or is it basalt? Look at that right there.
That's Dave Scott.
Let me take a picture of where it came from under that rock.
He sounds almost as excited and happy as Pete Conrad was, and that is really going some.
Yeah, it looks like a big piece of glass. Got some bubbles in. Oh, look at that. Isn't that a glass-coated brush? inertia.
They even sound a little. They even sound a little alike at this point.
Shiny. 199.
Roger, Dave. Thank you.
Let me get some more of this, Jim.
As Scott said, indeed, it looks like they have found a gold mine. And, and I think we were lucky that our periodic report to you, wherever you may be listening in the world, came right at the time of this discovery. This probably may be the most important finding. Again, that's speculation, of course. Some of this area may be the most important of all the geological discoveries on the moon.
Dave and Jim, we're very pleased with your documented samples here. We think you ought to give some thought pretty shortly now to getting us a rake sample if you can find a good area, and then we're going to go for some bulk collection, just a lot of soil filling sample or collection bag six.
Okay. That seems a shame. We got to go over and sample that big one there. Yeah, we'll do that. Go ahead.
We're finding so many things of interest here.
Yeah, that's the story. You could spend a lot
Dave,
longer time than you have.
Jim's collection bag probably before you go much longer. It's coming very loose.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Fred. What were you saying?
Well, it doesn't matter where you go, and it's been that way on every mission and will continue to be so. You're gonna see a lot more things of interest than you really have the time, even with the increased day time, to devote what you really think you need to.
Mm-hmm. They're filling another bag with another sample.
Oh, yeah, that's getting in it.
Now, there's a lot of support from the scientists in the back rooms at Mission Control. From every remark which the astronauts have made back on the voice communications circuit, from every TV picture we've gotten so far, the professional geologists and scientists are helping to guide these men to those areas which are expected to be the most scientifically interesting. So there's an immense amount of support here on Earth for these two men as they conduct this excursion on the moon. Dave just dropped his scoop or his tongs there.
Let me get Jim's bag. Wait, Jim, don't go anywhere yet.
Dave's working on the big bag for the sample bag on the side of Jim Irwin's backpack. The things that's the reservoir for all of this little gold mine.
Dave and Jim, the science input now is that we want to forget that large block entirely. We want as large a collection of smaller frags as you can get us, and you'll probably be working near the rover for those.
And there's the input from the science support room, the professional decision on which of these fragments should be most interesting.
10 to 15 minutes remaining here.
And so the astronauts, Dave Scott and Jim Irwin, on the surface of the moon apparently have really hit pay dirt and are discovering what they came for. As Dave Scott says, it looks like what we came for. Don't you think that's pretty exciting, Fred?
It certainly is.
That's
you can tell it easily in Dave's conversations.
And thanks very much to astronaut Fred Hayes, who's also trained for this sort of geological excursion, for being with us. This is Rhett Turner in Houston. We'll report more to you later from Mission Control.
You're listening to the Voice of America's coverage of the flight of Apollo 15, now 145 hours, 55 minutes into the mission. Astronauts Scott and Irwin are continuing their second traverse by lunar rover at the foot of the Apennine Mountains. As you heard, they have collected some rock and crystal samples in the last hour, which they think are especially significant. The Voice of America will return to the air with its special coverage 1 hour from now at 16 hours 30 for a further report. Our thanks to astronaut Fred Hayes and VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston. This is Les Higby at the Apollo News Center. This program has come to you from the United States of America.